Coach, defense is important, but a team also has to score to win. You can have the best defense in the world, but without an offense to match, you won't be winning any championships. Just have a look at what happened during March Madness this year. Three out of four teams that made it to the Final Four on both the women's and men's side were the top three offensive-ranked teams. That's no coincidence. The reality is most coaches will win more games with a 15% improvement on offense. But how? We're bringing in one of the greatest offensive minds in the game and Read and React creator, Coach Rick Torbett, to help answer that question. On May 9th, Rick and I will kick off our four-week offensive strategies track where we will teach coaches how to score 7 to 10 more points per game. Just head to pgccoaching.com/tracks to learn more.
Welcome to the Hardwood Hustle powered by PGC Basketball. We believe in the value of a coach. We're here to educate, empower, and encourage you to lead like never before. There can be a lot of mixed emotions when the basketball season finally comes to an end. In this week's episode, TJ and Sam discuss how coaches can properly reflect and evaluate where they're at and where they need to be. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Hardwood Hustle. Sam and TJ here with you today. And today we're going to talk about postseason. And the drop back of this is TJ and his Emmanuel team just had a heartbreaking loss in the national tournament, an overtime loss where they had a chance to win it at the buzzer, and just a phenomenal season. And TJ, so first off, celebrate you, man, and Graham and your whole staff and all your players and the remarkable season that you guys had. Just snap it up for you, man. Awesome job.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And, you know, coaches, we're going to have a conversation about what happens after the season. There's a myriad of emotions that go on as a coach, and we'll kind of just talk through some of that and hopefully help you for those that your season's ending or whenever you listen to this. And TJ, as we were preparing for this, I mentioned before we press record, at the end of the season, you know, sometimes there's sadness. For some coach, sad that the season's over. Sometimes there's relief. Like it was a long season and they're relieved that the season's over. I think most coaches would like to be sad because you don't get to go to one more practice with your players and your staff. And then, and we'll unpack this and kind of talk through it, TJ, but the four R's after that initial end of the season, you have the sadness or relief, then you go into reflection, then you have some realizations, then you have maybe some regrets, and then lastly you have what I call the reset, and that's where you're kind of clearing it and turning the page to the next chapter, which is the off season. And sometimes you're experiencing a little bit of all of that at one time. So maybe start us off with just kind of some of your opening thoughts. You know, your season is really fresh off ending.
You know, I think it's crazy how emotional like what we do is, and how different it is than so many different types of jobs, right? You know, like I've talked to this to my brother and my sister a lot about this. You know, my sister is a vice president of a big company, and you know, it's kind of like day to day work, next day work. You know, go through my brother is a physical therapist, and you know, goes in at 7, day's done at 4. Doesn't take a lot of work home with them, you know, like it's kind of move on to the family and you just kind of compartmentalize and do. And there's give and take and there's ebb and flow. There's days I think he wishes he was coaching and doing something like I was doing. There's days that I would just wish that at 4 o'clock the day was over, you know, and that was it. And there was nothing else to do and to take home. And, you know, I think one of our PGC coaching members, Nelson, had put something in our Facebook, you know, like it's like you go in 100 miles an hour and then it's zero all of a sudden. Like the job, the profession is just so different than so many other professions. You know, it's like you go to this moment and like you're all you do is keep your head down and you're working and you're trying to do everything you can for your team and you're emotionally invested and you've had hard moments. You've cried, you've laughed, you've enjoyed, you've had big wins. You had to tell just an emotional journey in so many different ways. And then it ends, right? Like, and you talked about, like, for us, it was a lot of sadness. It was a lot of tears. But if I'm being truthful, I bet there's some players on our team that were, like, ready. Like, they didn't get the minutes they wanted. They didn't get the whatever. And they were grinding at practice. And they weren't getting it. I'm sure. I mean, if we're just being honest about it, not every person feels exactly the same way. But in our profession, you know, I know in college, like, you know, all these coaches are, okay, let's go right to the transfer portal. You know, let's go to Hoop Dirt and see what jobs open. Maybe there's the grass is greener over here. And, you know, what can I, it's like, it, but it's never just like, all right, you just, the next day is the next day. The next day is a whole new world. It's a whole new, like, what do I do? And how do I reconstruct my roster? And I think it's, you know, very much the same at any level. I mean, high school coaches, I think they ask themselves the same question. Like, why am I doing this? Like, did I dealt with those parents like all year long. And, you know, I dealt with this disgruntled player, or they're like, gosh, I absolutely love my team and I'm so thankful I do this, but there's just all over the map emotions. And I think just acknowledging, first of all, it's different than most professions where you go through a season and then it's over. And now what do you do next? And you start a new season. Whereas if you go and do a regular job and you know the ebb and flow of that, and maybe there's not quite the emotions. And so I think you first just have to step back and say, gosh, what we do is different. You know, what we do and how we do our life and our profession is just, it's just different than a lot of professions.
I think that's a great point, TJ. It is. It is different. It's almost, I'll draw an analogy, almost like the Olympic athlete sometimes. I mean, it's similar for athletes, but the Olympic athlete who trains for 4 years and then they go do the Olympics and then it's over and it's over. And there, what's next? You know, I think even, I've heard Michael Phelps, who they, you're so intense in the training, just like really good coaches, you're so intense in the moment of the season, you know, a season's, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and then the athlete's done. And then there's almost a depression state that happens and sets in. I know for me in coaching, when a season's over, I've had it times it lasts 2-3 days. I've had it last 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know if I'd say I was depressed, but there's an element of a depression state.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I mean, I couldn't even tell you. I mean, after we lost, you know, a shot at the buzzer to win it, to go on to the Sweet 16, or you go through, it's like, I mean, I was sad. I was upset. Like, we invested so much. We were so close to this. I was sad because I loved, you know, my seniors, and like, I'm going to miss them. And, you know, you're the going on whatever it is, the time together, you know, like, it's just your normal routine. You're going to be in the gym tomorrow with the people that you do work with. Yeah, there's that. Then there's also, like, I laid down in bed and I thought, what do I do? Like, I'm supposed to be watching film. Like, I don't have any film to watch. You know, what do I do right now? Like, there's just kind of a lost state, you know, like a little puppy. Like, I'm not even sure what to do next. And there's just like, you wake up the next day and you're like, I don't know what to do today. Like, you know, I could do whatever I wanted to do today. Like, I could go play pickleball, or I could go, like, you just don't know. I mean, you feel lost in a lot of ways, and you've invested so much. Right. Like, I mean, I think coaches that really care at any level invest a lot. I mean, you could be coaching, you know, 12-year-olds, and like, you know, that likely that's the last time you'll be with that team, but you gave them everything you had for the last 6 months, you know, like, now what? And so I think, you know, you can definitely feel sad and depressed and lost and excited. And it's okay to feel all those emotions at once, but I think just acknowledging, like, it is an emotional roller coaster that you are going on, that now what is next. And the Olympic athletes, a good analogy, like, and I think you see in pro athletes all the time, like, there's these people that were their routine. I got up, I did this, I go, you know, and then all of a sudden it's over. Like, what do I do now?
Well, imagine, you know, we've got a lot of high school coaches that listen to this, and some of my closest friends are high school coaches. Imagine losing a season, and then you know what they do? They got to go in the next morning and start teaching and dealing with all these, why some high school coaches will take a day or a couple of days off right after the season, because it's so big. You have, and those that don't coach, that you don't even, it's hard to describe the emotions that you go through at the end of the season. So
I don't think people know. Like, if you're in another profession, another job, you don't really even know what that feels like, right? You know what I mean? Like, I walked into the office the next day, and I mean, what is everybody thinking? Like, they were at the game, you know, like, oh my gosh, you know, do we tell them we're sorry? Do we tell them great season? Do we tell them whatever? You know, like, even the people around you. And then there's some people that are like, oh, well, it was just a game. Like, the season's over. Like, just work today. And they don't realize how much you invested, you know, how much you put into it. I mean, there's teachers and professors that don't know the late night calls, the parent conversations, the, you know, the dinners missed, the whatever. Like, there's a lot of people that just can't even relate to what just happened and what you just went through. And then there's some people that can. And it's just a, it's just weird in that dynamic as well.
Well, and I think too, like, you're pretty grounded as a coach. Meaning you've got a family, you're connected as a father and a husband, and also you're very invested as a coach. And so even when you're grounded, even when you're centered on either your family or your faith or both, like, this still happens, because you're so invested. And so I think that's normal. But I worry, not do I worry, I really empathize with the coaches who don't have any grounding, who aren't centered, and it is so wrapped up, and the enormity of the end of the season for them is even bigger sometimes because there is nothing else to, like, fall back on, right? So, TJ, as we think about this, end of the season, let's go back to some of this framework. You know, there's sadness, and then you go into this reflection. This sometimes happens on the, you know, I think you guys stayed in the hotel, took the bus home the next day. Maybe it starts there. Maybe it starts when you get in the office, whenever that is. So you're having some reflection and realizations. Talk to us about, like, your own thought patterns and what's going on with you there.
Well, I think everybody starts from a different place. I mean, my reflection, I am interested in growing and being really good at what I do, right? And so, like, I try to not play the blame game at all, which I think a lot of people do. I mean, I think a lot of coaches love to get together and talk about, well, if so-and-so did this, if so-and-so did that. So, you know, and we've all got those, you know, like, you wish this one player was more invested. You wish that this player worked harder in their game. You wish, like, everybody feels those things. But, you know, I think the best place to reflect from, honestly, is starting with gratitude. You know what I mean? Like, it's very easy for coaches to go to a place of, like, this sucked, that sucked, we didn't have the resources, this player's not that, this player, you know, and then you just get in this, you know, misery loves company situation. And it's just a bad place to go down and a road to go down. And, you know, the other place is just, like, beat yourself up, you know, like, I mean, hey, we had the ball in the last shot, and, you know, we didn't do it. Could I have done a better play? Could I have done, you know, like, you can go to those places. But I really think the most important first step is just to reflect from a place of gratitude. Like, what did happen well over the course of the season? Why was it worth it? Who did we impact? What difference did we make? Why, you know, like, I think it'll make the rest of your reflection better if you can just start from that place. If you just go right into complaining and misery and what did we do wrong and whatever, I just don't think you get a really clear picture. I think you first have to, you know, think about what you're grateful for, why you're appreciative, and just take some time in that space. And then it's going to make the other space of what could we have done better, you know, what, you know, the reflections of that. I think it'll make that more effective.
How much of that are you doing on your own versus with staff? And then ultimately, you know, with your players, maybe talk about, again, this is how you process. You already said it. Every coach has got to find their own. But, yeah, talk to us about those kind of three buckets, yourself, with staff, with players.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'll just let you inside our locker room. I mean, this is the first thing that happens. Like, we go over a tough loss. We lose in overtime. And it's like, I think the first thing that we did was cry a lot. And there was a lot of people crying, and there were some people that weren't, you know, and I brought to the point, like, hey, listen, if you are not crying, it's okay. Like, you don't have to be emotional, but I do think you need to do some inner reflection. Like, did I invest everything? Cause I know everybody that was crying had invested a lot. You know, I mean, there was guys that didn't play a minute that were crying. They invested a lot. And then there was, you know, an All-American who's going to be a pro who invested a lot, who was devastated, you know what I mean? And there was coaches that were devastated because we all invest a lot. So I think first of all was letting those emotions out. And then the second place that we went to was just gratitude. Like, hey, let's take a minute and let's share what we're thankful for. And let's talk to our seniors, what we're thankful for about them. Like, you know, I think making those moments in the locker room when you like, it would have been easy to be pissed. Like if so-and-so would have got that one rebound, we're playing the Sweet 16. If so-and-so would have got, you know, there's so many what ifs, but like quickly move into like just a place of gratitude. Like what things are we thankful for, not to forget, you know? And then the final thing is like, I recognize that that's the final step of that group. And so the ability to pray for them is important for us, you know, like just a blessing upon like, man, this group will never be together again. You know, we will all go different directions and let's take time, whatever it is for us, it's prayer, but like to bless the journey ahead or to wish well to the journey ahead. So that's where we went. And then you go back with your coaches and, you know, I think that, you know, you let each other know how much you appreciate all the work that was put in. And then that's where the reflection begins. I think when you start talking, looking back on things that we're thankful for and things that we could have done better.
And y'all, yeah. So appreciate you bringing that kind of inside locker room feel, visual. Do you create an atmosphere in there after the game of like where players are sharing, like you're in the locker room and players are sharing, or is it more you kind of just taking the reins of the room and you're leading the talking?
Yeah. I mean, I want players to share, you know what I mean? Cause here's the reality of it. Like you could have disgruntled players that are like, hey, well, I'm better than this. I should be getting playing time. I want to transfer. I want to move schools. I want to do whatever. But there's also finality to that moment where like you can feel all the things you want. You maybe you've been complaining for the last 3 or 4 weeks, but it's over now. This is the last time this group is in this locker room. And those that have invested a lot have a lot to share. And those that, you know, maybe had other things going on in their mind or head also have a stark moment of reality. Like this is it. You know, like I didn't put into it what I wanted to put into it, but I think it's healthy for those emotions to go out and to create a space for people to say the final things that they have to say, you know, and I'm hoping in the end, my group has stuff to say, you know, like they there's things that they want to express. And, you know, thankfully every year they do have things to express. And yeah, I think that's safe space to do it and not, you know, they don't want to hear a coach preach again for 30 minutes. You know what I mean? They don't want to hear that after a normal game, much less after the last game, you know, like, well, if we'd have boxed out here, we'd do that. That's not where they're at mentally. And you're not going to get anything done there. So I think just creating the space of gratitude is a nice thing to do.
And then because now we're a few days out from the end of the season. So some of the smoke clears a little bit, I would imagine for you, you're seeing things a little more clearly than you did right after the game, even the next morning, maybe 48 hours. So what are some other, if you don't mind sharing from even just this year, like what are some realizations or do you have any regrets?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think I used to write down every mistake I made and regret, like my first several years in coaching, that I would learn from them. And that list got really lengthy. You know, I mean, there's so many things. And you know, the funny thing is like every year you think that it would get smaller, but you're just going to make a lot of mistakes over the course of the year. You know, I think it's important. This is something I've gotten in the habit of doing is, you know, documenting the things that we really liked that really went well and making sure we prioritize those things to happen again. And also writing down the things that didn't go so well and writing those down and like, hey, these are things that we need to avoid in the future, things we need to stay away from, because experience really is the thing that makes you better at what you do. And we talk about this all the time, but if you're not evaluating that experience, it's not going to get better. You're just going to do it over and over again. We've talked about the coach that coaches one season 30 times. They never change. They never adjust. It never gets better. So I do think it's really important to reflect, you know, and give yourself grace. Like I made a ton of mistakes this season, but there's also some things maybe that I did well. And, you know, if that failure and we live in that space, whether it's a player failure or a coach failure, like we're not going to move forward well. So I do think it's important to document, you know, what are the top 10 things we did this year? And what are the 10 biggest mistakes we made this year? And, you know, that just gives you some sort of balanced perspective rather than just living in regret or just living in like, it's not, we did everything right. It's the player's fault. You know what I mean? Like neither one of those healthy, like just evaluate your experience and be honest in your evaluation. And I think your whole staff, you know, being poured into that, I think getting player evaluations afterwards, you know, even people you value, maybe even parents, whoever you think, like, I just want a full picture of how I can move forward and do better for the next group. And every year I wish I was better because I can give them more. When I look back, Sam, you and I were coaching, we've talked about this before, but I mean, we sucked at what we did. You know what I mean? We just didn't know what we didn't know, and we had to grow and we had to get better.
That kind of leads into what my next question for you was, just thinking, listening again, you're not prepared for what I'm about to ask, but what's different now than 20 years ago at the end of the season? Or is it pretty similar for you, the process or the emotions, or yeah, what has changed, or is nothing really has changed? I kind of see the end of the season the same and the days after the same.
No, it's definitely changed. I mean, there's some that hasn't. Like when you and I coached together 20 years ago, we were both competitive as heck, right? Like that hasn't changed. Like I want to win. I'm competitive. I got the fire. Like there's no, I feel the same way. Like you almost want to fight when it's over. Like you're just not ready because that hasn't changed. Like that competitive. Now perspective has changed. You know, what you and I thought at that time when we were 25 years old, like this was the end of the world. This was, you know, like that whole perspective has changed everything. We've grown and we matured and we understand that, like, you still got to go home and change a diaper, or you still got to go home and have a tough conversation with your 12-year-old or your 16-year-old. And you know that, you know, basketball is not life, but you know, it teaches a lot of life lessons. And so I think that the thing that hasn't changed is the competitive fire. The thing that has changed is the perspective on, you know, like, what am I really doing? Why am I really doing this? You know, what can I do in this moment to really have a long lasting impact versus, you know, just getting fired up and pissed off in the moment or whatever it is. I think that is the two things to me. Perspective is the biggest change. And the thing that has probably not changed it much at all is the competitive fire.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I think the longer you coach and you get better perspective because you have more experience, right? And then, you know, when you first started coaching, you didn't have kids. Now you have four kids. You do have four kids, right?
All right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But just life happens, experience happens. And so if that even goes back, you go into seasons a lot differently because I think you think about the end of the season before the season starts. You're thinking about what do I want my team to look like on the floor? How do I want them to play? What type of emotions do you want in the locker room? What type of relationships do I want to have built? That makes you a better coach throughout the year, in season, out of season, because you're very aware of I call it the moment of truth. That's why it's so important that you're developing winning habits with your players and your teams, and that you don't let things slide throughout the year, because the moment of truth is on that last possession when you need that rebound or you need that stop or you need to execute on the offensive end to get this shot. All right, let me pause. I think I'm getting too deep there. I feel like I'm doing a locker room talk, but you know what I mean? I think that's allowed you to be a better coach because you're very aware of this moment at the end of the season, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm still processing the fact you asked me if I had four kids as many times as we've been around each other, been friends for 25 years. That's moving forward from that. Yeah.
It was half a joke, but I did question myself a second there, but yes.
I do think, and look, I'm not saying I'm a great coach, but I do think for the ones that have a great impact that are really, you know, caring coaches, like I do think that end is more real and you definitely think about it more than when you're just out there trying to win ball games. And I acknowledge there's people that are out there just trying to win ball games and they're going day to day. And I actually think it's less effective, to be honest with you. If you really wanted to win, I think you would take the big picture into consideration and it would be more than just winning. And I think it will produce more for you, both on and off the court. But yeah, I mean, I think you go the entire season and, you know, I think that, you know, you have a team that loves each other and cares for each other. They want that big rebound more. You know what I mean? They want that big play, that big loose ball. They want it more than a team that's been threatened all year and a team that's living day to day, you know? And I think being, you know, I think as coaches, it's important to think about that, you know, like, yeah, we want a sad locker room. Like I want every guy in that locker room to be crying. I want to be crying. I mean, you can go watch our post game interview, you know, KJ and I are both, you know, teared up and we've just been crying for 30 minutes prior to that, you know, like I want that, you know, I feel like life's really in you and exuding from you when you're that emotional about something. And otherwise you can go through a season and be like, I'm glad it's over. This sucked. I didn't like my players. And like, gosh, I mean, I just feel like you're missing what basketball has to offer. You know, I think it's created to bring that out and to foster and to manage those. I think that's why the game, honestly, if you go back to the inception of why it was created, I really think it was meant to do this, to be a small, you know, microcosm of a year is kind of like what a basketball season is or what a life is. And there is so many for a transformational coach. There's so many opportunities. And when you talk about reflection, I look back on this year and there's so many opportunities where I'm really proud of myself. You know, like I'm really glad we used that moment as a teachable moment. And I also can look back on it and say, man, you know, in that moment, I cared more about winning than probably I could have used that moment differently. Like I have those regrets too. And you got to have grace for yourself and you got to keep learning.
Yeah, you got to know your purpose. You got to know why you coach. You know, so to recap some of what we said, because I got three more R words for you too, but you know, you have some sadness and you have reflection, you have realizations, you have maybe some regrets, and then you reset. You know, TJ, I think in some of the reflection, tell me if you agree with this, but coaches think about sometimes, do I want to keep coaching? I might resign. Do I want to retire? Do I want to resign? Do I want to retire? Or do I want to refire the engines back up? But coaches go through that. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, Sam, that's, and at every level, I know it's different, but you know, it's almost instant, you know, like for me, I mean, they're like people, you know, the next morning at 8 o'clock, can you do an interview today? Like, are you interested in this job? Like, can you like that? And I'm just emotionally not even there, but like the world moves on. Like people are, you know, and as you know, much as I'm trying to process all that, like there's also, I mean, I'm only 46 years old, but I'm like, I could retire. Like I feel exhausted. You know what I mean? Like maybe it's time to move on to my second career because then you're totally exhausted. And I think you probably feel all those feelings. I think you have to give yourself some time. Like, you know, we're a couple days after, 3 days after now, like I'm not ready to refire. There's a part of me that, you know, is ready and fired up to like be back in that moment. But there's also a part of me that's tired. There's a part of me that needs more time with my family. There's a part of me, you know, and so I think you have to give yourself a little time to process all of those feelings as well. Because I think the moment can lie to you. I mean, there's times early in the season, remember I talked to you 2 weeks in, I'm like, this might be my last year, man. You know, like just there's a lot. And it's harder when you invest more. I say this all the time. It would be so much easier to be transactional. Just show up, do your job and move on. Right. You're not gonna have a lot of impact on people, but I feel like sometimes just being a coach would be easier if you were that. But if you really, you know, want to achieve a high level of success, both on and off the court, you have to be transformational. But with being transformational, there's an investment of not just time and energy, but like love and care. And like, it's just hard. And I think everybody needs a little bit of a break there.
Real quick one on this one. How quickly do you do the player exit interviews? Like, you know, a lot of NBA teams or some NBA will do it like the day after. And I'm like, man, it's so fresh. Which there's some goodness in the freshness of it because you're going to get some raw, real emotion. But then there's some goodness in waiting and letting things, you know, it's like we never want to make emotional decisions. But yeah, what, how do you approach the exit interviews, players?
Yeah, I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer there. I can tell you we're doing them fast this year. And and the reason we're doing them fast this year is because I want everybody to remember the emotional place they're in right then and there. Right. Like, and I know that those people that are sad and they're crying, like, I know how they feel about Emmanuel basketball and I know what they want there. And those guys that weren't like maybe feeling the same way, you know, over time they can forget some things like that, the way they felt. And I just want their emotions to be as real. Like, what are you feeling last week? You know, 3 days ago, what were you feeling? 2 days ago, what were you feeling? And I think that's going to help us produce some better conversations. So I don't know that I felt that way every year, but this year I felt an urgency to do these fast.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, in the transfer portal world we live in college, I think maybe add some urgency to it all as well. So, TJ, you know, as we kind of get close to wrapping things up, when do you reset? When do you actually maybe close the book, close the last chapter of the season, and you're officially into off-season mode? How is it a clear distinction? Is it over a few days, few weeks? Yeah, talk to us about that.
Yeah, you know, I think it's different for everybody at every level. Maybe even different for each person year to year. You know, like I try as I've gotten older to be like, we'll reset when I'm ready to reset. You know what I mean? Like, what do I need? I think there's some years you need more, some years you need less. And, you know, like, I think that you have to listen to your, like, you know, your body. You have to listen to your team. You have to listen to, like, you know, like one of the things that I think is detrimental is everybody talks about the grind and you didn't process these emotions. You didn't take care of yourself. Like, I just need to get out and exercise for a few days right now. Like, you know, I need to get a few nights of sleep, you know, like the season, the wear, the tear. I need to, as soon as possible, get to a beach. You know what I mean? Like, I know everybody feels differently, but I need that stuff. And at this point in my life, for sure. And I think that the mistake probably most commonly made is just getting back to the grind. And, you know, we've talked about this all. You can't give away what you don't possess. And if you're emotionally drained, you're physically drained, you're basketball drained, you know, you can't give them the highest quality of you, which can actually be detrimental more so than helpful.
That's really good. Yeah, I think, man, what that triggered for me, it goes back to what we talked about a little bit earlier. Again, this is, you would say, TJ, you stay pretty grounded throughout the year, right?
Comparatively speaking, yes, but there's also times when, yeah, you're just all the way in there and you can lose perspective and you got to fight against it, you know?
Yeah. I'm just thinking, you know, it is tough. There's so much emotions going on and, you know, so coaches that are listening, and TJ, I'll turn it over to you to give us some final thoughts and wrap us up. But, you know, we hope that this process, listening to TJ talk about his reflections, I think, can be really important to closing out a season well, closing off relationships well, setting yourself up for future success, and, you know, having those initial emotions, reflecting, getting realizations, you know, honoring or being aware of any regrets so you can learn from, and then resetting. I think that process is really good and really important. But I'll turn it over to you, TJ, for some final thoughts on this whole conversation.
Yeah, you know, I think I do have, you know, a pretty strong thought is like for where coaches put their worth. You know what I mean? I mean, there's some coach out there that won a state championship that thinks they hung the moon and they just happen to have really good players. And they, you know, they could have actually been detrimental to the progress of those kids moving forward and whatever, but they're going to see themselves and the world's going to see them in some certain light. You know what I mean? And there's a coach out there that won 7 games that's beaten themselves up, that they're not a good coach, that they're not, you know, whatever. And you might have changed and impact lives forever. And that 7 wins might have been the absolute best they could have done. And we just live in a unique society where people judge you according to things that aren't even really fully understood or fully truthful or fully whatever. And so it's like, and it's tough, you know, like when they're posting about this and we won this and we did that. And there's a lot of coaches out there that won five games, and there's other coaches that won 25 games. And there's those coaches that won five that are just as good as those ones that won 25, but there's just different circumstances. You know, and look, I've been the beneficiary of people thinking I'm amazing when I know I'm not that good. And I've had some people question me when I know I'm actually better than they're questioning me to be. Like, it's both ends. And I think that is perspective. And I think that that's why you got to put your worth in something that's meaningful. And I can't speak to what that is for everybody. You know, Sam, you know, you and I put our faith in, and we know what we put things in, what matters to us. But, you know, if you put it in the wrong things and like the success of that season, you're going to tell yourself a bad story and a wrong story every year. And so you do have to somewhat live between your own 2 years, and each year is its own journey, and judge what that journey is capable of. And hopefully you're keeping score a different way. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to win on the scoreboard. I always want more points than my opponent, but there's other ways to keep score too, you know? And, I think you should keep them both ways, but I think being, realistic of that and not giving into societal pressures or thoughts or whatever is a hard thing to do. But I would encourage coaches to do that, because nobody knows. You know, I know those parents are judging your season. I know players are judging your season. I know other coaches are judging your season. But in reality, you have to be the one that really determines what is the actual scoreboard, what actually is successful and not successful, and just gauge yourself. And if it didn't reach your goals or potential, give yourself some grace and learn from it and move forward. And if it did, you know, celebrate it and figure out how you can grow from it as well. But I'm thankful for what coaches do out there. I don't love all the time the society we live in where, you know, players want to transfer, parents want to do this. It's never good enough. You got to live up to this. Like, it oftentimes feels like a lose-lose situation, but done the right way, I think it's a win-win situation. And, you know, I just encourage coaches to keep plowing forward. And for those that are doing it the right way and they care, to be encouraged and to keep faith and keep going, because it does make a big impact.
Yeah, great words, TJ. Well, again, celebrate you, man, and the culture you've built at Emmanuel, and Graham is a big part of that. So snaps to Graham. Hopefully he's listening, and all your players. Great season. And to all the coaches that are listening to this, you just finished a season. We celebrate you for everything you put into growing yourself, growing your players, growing the game. And we appreciate you listening. If you do listen, we would be grateful if you subscribe and like and comment. It helps us reach more people and make a bigger impact. So for TJ and for myself, we are the Hardwood Hustle.
Thanks again for tuning into this episode of the Hardwood Hustle, where we believe in the value of a coach. We also want to make sure you know about our coaching resources and freebies available to you at pgchustle.com. We have a workshop, a Reading React masterclass, and effective practice planning tips to help you enhance your coaching. Get started at pgchustle.com. From the Hardwood Hustle team, thanks again. We can't wait to be with you again next week.